This morning we are going to be looking at the book of Ephesians, the letter to the church at Ephesians chapter 6, and beginning with verse 10 through verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10 through 18. This is from the New King James Version. This is what the Word of God says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. This is the word of God. This morning I want to say something about stand your ground. Stand your ground. Many of us are already familiar with this letter to the church at Ephesus that we call the book of Ephesians. This is one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote from prison while under house arrest in Rome. There are four what we call prison epistles: Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the letter to Philemon. These are all written to address a specific need in the church. If you are familiar with your New Testament, you know that the book of Ephesians has two major divisions. In chapters 1 through chapter 3, we have what is called the doctrinal section. There, the apostle wrote concerning the high call of God in Jesus Christ and the lifestyle that flows from that calling of God in our life. He wrote about what we possess as believers in Jesus Christ. He tells us of the spiritual benefits and blessings that belongs to us. He talks about the grace of God and how salvation is totally and completely a gracious act of God on our lives. It is by grace that we have been saved, not by works. It is a gift of God, so nobody can boast about being saved. It is totally and completely a work of God, that God chose us and God's grace saves us and he sustains us and he preserves us by his power. He stamps us with his Spirit that claims us for all eternity. In the second half of the book, Paul moves from doctrinal statements to practical application. And so in chapters 3 through 6, the apostle outlines the standards for living for believers, both as individuals and as a fellowship within the community of faith. And then he talks about what it means to be a Christian in the life of your family relationship within the homes. In chapter 6, Paul closes the letter, and here he reminds us, he reminds believers that we are in spiritual warfare. The Apostle Paul is speaking from his own experience with insight from the Holy Spirit, and he knows that the opposition is real and that the warfare against the people of God is intense. And so he writes in verse 10 of chapter 6, in closing out this book, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. My brethren, he's not just talking to anybody. He's talking to his brethren. He's talking to those who have trusted Christ for salvation, those he considers brethren. And this word brethren is inclusive of all men and women who believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross to atone for our sin, and that God raised him from the dead on the third day. He's addressing this letter and giving this word of instruction to brethren, those in whom the Holy Spirit has taken up his permanent residency, those who have been crucified with Christ and who now possess the new life of God in them that God offers to them. Brethren, those who make up the household of faith, who are the children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you this morning, but when he says brethren, that includes me. And it includes you. And so he says, brethren, to us, sistren, be strong in the Lord. Let your faith in the Lord sink deep, especially when you're under attack. Let your faith in the Lord sink deep. Submit to the lordship of God over your life. Be steadfast in your convictions. Be sincere in your confession of faith, and be sure of your salvation. Are you sure of your salvation this morning? You need to be sure of your salvation, or you're walking on shaky ground. You need to be sure of your salvation, that your faith is anchored in Jesus Christ. You need to be sure that if God calls you home right now, that you will be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. You need to be sure. You need to be sure. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Then the apostle gives instructions. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Paul is in prison writing this letter. He has been arrested by Roman soldiers. He has been sentenced by a Roman court. He's being oppressed because of his faith in the resurrected Lord, whom he met personally on the road to Damascus. The powers of the Roman Empire are aligned against him just because he is who God intended for him to be. Y'all didn't get that. The reason he's experiencing these troubles in his life, the reason there's a spiritual attack on his person, is because of the fact that he has become or is becoming all that God wanted him to be. If you are not becoming what God has called you to be, you are no threat against the power of darkness, and Satan will leave you alone. But as soon as you take your place as a child of God, as soon as you realize that you belong to the kingdom of God and that you're going to do the work of the kingdom and live as a citizen of that kingdom, you will be attacked by spiritual powers that manifest itself in flesh. The world will hate you and try to destroy you just because God made you who you are. And while all that Paul is experiencing the text, all that's happening to him is physical, he realizes that his battle is really on a higher plane. The human activity, the hatred, the violence, the oppression that comes from a human being really originates with invisible forces that this wicked empire is under the influence of spiritual wickedness in high places. And we see the same thing today in our world, don't we? We're looking at it in the face, in the flesh, in our country. Spiritual wickedness in high places in government, in high places in law enforcement, in corporate structures, in the entertainment world, in finance, in medicine, in education. We see wicked, hate-filled men and women carrying out the mission and mandates of the rulers of the darkness of this age. Paul says, when you see and experience the hatred, the racism, the false prophets oppressing and injustice, when you see and experience the greed and abuse, know that those are principalities and powers. Those are spiritual forces, and that our battle for social and political and economic and legal justice are real, but our most pressing battle is in the heavenlies. It's in spiritual wickedness. This is what Paul says. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Amen. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against a spiritual host of wickedness in high places. Paul says in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And I want to lift this. I want to examine this verse because sometimes we don't get it right. In verses 14 through 17, Paul begins by saying, the King James says, put on or take up the whole armor of God. Now, what Paul is doing here is he is informing the brethren. He's informing you and I that God has already given us what we need to be victorious. Paul is not suggesting that you and I have the power to put on the whole armor of God. No, that's not what he's doing. He really wants you to know that it's already in your inventory, what God has already provided. The words put on or take up has to be properly understood. It means to be clothed with. It is not something that you and I are able to do on our own. We are clothed with the whole armor of God. Now, for a illustration, we can look back at 1 Samuel chapter 18. And when you look back there, you'll see David, the shepherd boy, prepares to go out and battle Goliath. You remember that narrative, right? He prepares to go out to battle Goliath. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 18, that Saul clothed David. Saul put on. Saul took up. He clothed David with his armor and put on a bronze helmet on his head and also put on him a coat of mail. And David strapped on the sword over his armor. But David could not use Saul's armor that Saul had put on him because God had given David something else. But the point I want to make is just as Saul clothed or put on David armor, the Holy Spirit has already clothed or put on every believer with the whole armor of God. You are already possessing the armor of God. And let me just, before I talk about this armor, let me just help you to understand this morning that if you are still standing and you are a brethren, if you are still in your right mind, if you can still worship, if you know the grace of God in your life, it is because you have been clothed with the whole armor of God. Paul tells us, take up the whole armor of God. And then he tells us what the whole armor of God consists of. In verse 14, he says, gird yourself with your waist with truth. Gird your waist with the belt of truth. Put the belt of truth around your waist. That keeps you strong and it keeps you stable. The truth about who God is, you need to know that. And what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. The truth about who you are and the power that you have with Christ. The truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And the truth about where Jesus is right now, that he sits at the right hand of majesty on high. And he's making intercession for us. And he's looking over us. The truth about who Jesus is. Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free to be all that God has created you to be in spite of the opposition against you. You shall be free from self-doubt and self-hatred regardless of your situation or how many times you have failed in the past. Free from the chains of addiction. Free from the chains of abuse. Free to be the best that you can be. Jesus said, if you know me, you know the truth personified. I bring grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Y'all, don't lose Jesus, because that's your belt. He's the one that keeps your loins strong. He's the one that keeps your thighs strong. You know, the prize fighter, here's an illustration. Prize fighters are conditioned individuals, boxers, professional, or mixed martial artists. And they condition, and one of the areas that they concentrate on is their loins, their thighs. And so there can come a time in a bout where a professional fighter can take one on the chin and be dazed momentarily, even momentarily black out. But because his loins are strong, because his legs are strong, he still stands there. And that's why you need a referee to step in. Because, you know, he could be knocked out. But because his loins are strong, because his legs are strong, he's still standing. And my brothers and sisters, life can give you one right on the chin. But if you've got the belt around your waist, then your loins are strong. If your waist is girded with the belt of truth, you can stand right there. You can stand. He says, gird yourself, gird your waist with the belt of truth. And the thing about the belt, all the other instruments, all the other things in your arsenal can hang on your belt. Your sword can hang on your belt. Your helmet can hang on your belt. Your shield can hang on your belt. Gird your waist with truth. But then he says, put on. This is what God has already done for you. He has given you a breastplate of righteousness. Y'all got that? He's given you. You already have the breastplate of righteousness. This is protection of the vital organs. But for you and me, the breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness that Jesus purchased for us on Calvary. He took upon himself our unrighteousness, and he bestowed us with his righteousness. Come on now. He took the unrighteousness from our chest because it's vulnerable. Yeah. The unrighteousness that we are clothed with has been taken away. And Jesus has given us a new breastplate of righteousness. Amen. And he protects our hearts. You know, he took our unrighteousness and we became righteous. He became what we are in terms of the sinful status before God the Father. He became sin for us, and he bestows his righteousness on us. Since I have my breastplate, I'm able to stand before God any day, any time. And because I have the breastplate of righteousness, I'm always welcome in my Father's house. Because I have on the breastplate of righteousness, my prayers are always heard. Not because I'm right, but because Christ was right for me. Not because I've done everything deserving of favor. Not because my works have put me in good standing. I receive because I have Jesus as my breastplate of righteousness. So when the devil tells me I can't, I say in the name of Jesus, I can. When the devil tells me I'm not worthy, I say, I know that, but in the name of Jesus, I am. When the devil tells me God is finished with me, I can tell him, get behind me, Satan, because I'm wearing right now the breastplate of righteousness. You already have it. You already are wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Don't let nobody fool you. Yeah, I know that you mess up sometimes, so do I. Yeah, sometimes we are hypocrites. Most of the time we are hypocrites, but we've been saved by the blood of Jesus. And if our faith is firmly planted in him, not only are we wearing the belt of truth, but we also have the breastplate of righteousness. Gird yourself with truth, y'all, and you won't stumble. Gird yourself with truth. And you won't stumble. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Wear it proudly. And verse 15, Paul says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is the message that Jesus gave to those who trust in him. The Bible says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Amen. I'm wearing the shoes of peace this morning, and I want to say to you, Zion, that your God reigns. I don't care who's in the White House now or then. I don't care who's on the throne in London. I don't care anything about that, because your God reigns. Here's the good news, Zion, that your God is large and in charge, that your God is the King of all the kings and the Lord of all the lords. He's the president of all the presidents, the prime minister of all the prime ministers. He's the general of all the generals. Your God reigns. And that's why you got to have some good news. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad thereof. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's the gospel of peace. Amen. Help me out with a cloth over there. Somebody bring me something. And taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that, thank you, he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith in God positions you in Christ. Amen. It is your shield. Christ is your shield. Christ is your all in all. He's your everything. He's your belt. Yeah, he's your righteousness. Yeah, and he's your shoes. And he is your shield. He is the shield of faith. God, faith positions you in Christ. And your faith in Christ is your shield. And he quenches the fiery dart that the devil throws at you. You got to learn how to use your shield of faith to quench those darts, to catch those darts in your shield of faith. You can catch the darts of disappointment that the devil will throw at you. You can quench the darts of despair in your heart and the darts of discouragement, the darts of doubt. You got to use your shield to quench those darts. And then the helmet of salvation guards your mind. Amen. It guards your mind. The Bible says that don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have already the helmet of salvation to guard your thinking. You need to take it off your belt and put it on your head to guard your thinking. To guard your thinking. You are what you think. You are what you think about. As a person thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. When the world influences your thinking, then your lifestyle follows. That's why the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and bringing every high and exalted its thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That is your thinking. You got to think right, and you can't think right unless you're thinking in Christ. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to influence your thinking and bring into captivity everything that's disobedient and everything that exalts itself against Christ. You got to put it behind you. You've got to gird your loins with truth. You're already girded. You're wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your head is covered with the helmet of salvation, and you've taken the shield of faith. Now, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you got to learn how to fend off attacks. You got to fend them off. You see, the sword can be used for an offense to kill, but that's not why he gave it to you. That's why he told Peter, put your sword away. You got to use that sword to deflect what's coming at you. You got to use it as a defensive weapon. Amen. Y'all got what I'm saying? I wish I knew sword fighting language, but you got to be able to, you know what I mean? You got to be able to use your sword to deflect. You know, now don't worry, because your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask. Amen. You don't have to be confused, because all these things, you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. You've got everything you need. You've got everything you need. Just got to learn how to use your sword. You don't have to learn how to use a helmet. You can just put it on. You don't really have to learn how to use a belt. You just strap it on. You don't have to learn how to use shoes. You just put them on. But when it comes to the sword, when it comes to the word of God, you got to practice. You need some training. You got your training in Bible study. You get your training in church school. You get your training in your devotional time at home, so that you can learn how to use that sword, which is the word of God. And when you've done all of that, and you know you've got everything that you need, you can stand. Amen. You can stand. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope, but thanks be unto God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got all that you need, and you've already been guaranteed the victory. I know that times get tough for us sometimes, but you can stand. I know that you get racially profiled and pulled over just because you're driving black, but you can still stand. I know the chips are stacked against you from birth, but you can still stand. At times it may seem that everything is working against you, but in the name of Jesus, God has already given you everything you need. You can stand. Sometimes it might feel like you're standing all by yourself, but I want to guarantee you this morning that God is standing with you. You work harder than anybody else and make less than anybody else. Don't fret it. Keep on doing what God has told you to do. You can stand. You can stand against the storms, because your God is with you, and he is able to keep you from falling. He has already given you the victory. My brothers and sisters, stand your ground. You can stand because God knows how much you can take. He knows how much you can bear, and he's already given you all that you need. Your waist is girded with truth. Your breastplate of righteousness is in place. Your feet are shod with peace. The shield of faith is in your hand. The helmet of salvation is on your head, and the sword of the Spirit is in your hand. Now you pray. Praying always, the Bible says, with all prayers. Punctuate your day with prayer. Spend time alone with Jesus in prayer. Some people think that praying is a waste of time, but those of us who know the worth of prayer know that praying is not a waste of time. Praying is where we get our power. Praying is where we prepare for the battle. Praying is when we get along with God in our prayer closet and we make known our request to him. prayer is why we don't worry, because the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but with everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Get alone with prayer, with Jesus in prayer. Get alone with prayer, because prayer is power. Prayer gives you power to move. Prayer gives you power to think. Prayer gives you power to act. Does anybody know the power of prayer? Is there anybody that I'm talking to this morning that know that if you pray, God will move? That you are where you are this morning because you learn how to call out in the name of Jesus in prayer. When your back was against the wall, it was a call out to God in prayer that gave you the power to get off that wall. You need to learn how to get along with Jesus. Get out of the crowd for a while. Get out of the office for a while. Get out of the family room for a while and get alone with Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me. Yeah, in the heat of the day, he walks with me. In the midnight hour, he walks with me. When my finances get tight, he walks with me. When my friends turn their back, I thank God that he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. You can take the trouble. You can climb the mountains. You can stand through the storm. You can persevere through the pandemic. You just got to learn how to stand your ground. Just stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Give God some praise.